Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
It's the 6th of June, 2024. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi, everybody.
And it's been an incredibly interesting week, actually. I'm not even sure where to begin. So I'm going to start with the pullback and then move into, it almost feels like the stories want to craft themselves around a central poll today. So I'm going to try to see if we can do that. Starting with, you might be surprised when you go look at Google search. You were expecting maybe an AI overview Armageddon, and we're kind of getting Google very visibly pulling back. According to industry statisticians Bright Edge, Google is showing AI overviews for approximately 15% of searches, where just a few weeks ago it was showing AI overview in relation to 84% of searches. I guess telling your users to eat rocks and drink urine.
And take baths with toasters.
And take baths with toasters limits. Well, it's obviously that was a bad thing to do. They shouldn't have done that. And they're stopping themselves, which is very mature and responsible of them. What do you think, Christine? I mean, honestly, are they actually pulling back on this and trying to retool it? Is this going the way of Google Plus? Like, what?
Gosh, hard to know, right?
AIO, damn.
Yeah, I've always said this since we started talking about this. Problem with using large language models in searches, they don't know what they're writing. They don't have any context. They just write predicted patterns of words. So if they've seen that pattern of words frequently, or even if it's only a few times, but it answers your question well, it in the way that it works, you know, mathematically, they'll just write that. So sometimes that means, you know, you take a toaster bath. You'll be very calm afterwards. You know, you'll be dead. They get a lot of scrutiny, a lot of scrutiny from very major press organizations. New York Times ran several stories. Verge actually sat down with them after their original initial talk. So I think they just got a lot of public pressure.
If it wasn't for the leak, that would have been the story that we led with last week, was the terrible press that Google was getting for AI overview.
Yeah, because it's a large language model. It can't. Sundar was reported as saying, you know, we can't fix this. You can't fix it. That's a large language model. So it literally is how it's the large language model works. It'd be like saying, well, we don't want the car to use gasoline anymore. We're just going to pour maple syrup in it. And you're going to go, well, but it doesn't work with maple syrup. And it's like, that's the problem, is a large language model can't be fixed to always give correct answers. So they're pulling back supposedly to try to retool it to see if they can minimize the answers that are dangerous. But then the problem you run into is it's language. So I know someone who's a security person with large language models, and it's very difficult because it's not like standard, you know, security where you like look for the holes in the programming. This is like, how can someone say something that will cause you to answer in a way that's harmful? And it's very, very difficult to fix that. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, to be honest.
Well, and that brings me to the next story I want to touch on. I don't want to go into this very deeply, but this was announced at a major industry conference, MozCon 20, MozCon 20, by the way. It's the 20th anniversary of MozCon. SEO in crisis. Tom Capper, Moz's senior search scientist, has suggested that SEO is in deep crisis. SEO may be dying. AI is disrupting and soon to replace many of the websites that SEOs would have worked on with AI generative results. And I gotta tell you, I lived in Seattle for a year and a half. And then I've been in Seattle for long periods of time after that because I love the city. And I lived there long enough to know that the sky's always falling in Seattle, like always.
I went there in January. It was
Was it
raining.
raining?
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, you see, the sky was falling.
Yeah.
I disagree with Tom. I don't think that SEO is in a heck of a lot of danger, although naturally it's going to change dramatically over the next couple of years. But even if some form of artificial intelligence outside of the large language model box does come along, I'm pretty sure SEOs are going to find a clever way to deal with it. I just can't step away from websites are very complicated and constantly breaking. SEOs are an integral part of this cycle.
Yeah, I as far as SEO goes with the AI overviews, I think that it, like we've talked about before, it just depends on how they're implemented. If they're implemented it as originally, they might have been implemented, it's 6,000 pixels long on, massive amount of the searches. Yeah, that would have hurt many, many websites because people wouldn't have clicked. If it's a little box at the top like a featured snippet, and people don't trust it because it's wrong so often. Not so much. People will just skip it. They'll have banner blindness like they used to with ads, right? They'll skip past it. So that really depends. The other thing too is I'm hearing a lot from people not in the industry about diversifying away from Google. So Google may be like, we know that Sundar years ago thought if you can make people search more, we'll make more money. But that doesn't necessarily mean longevity. So a lot of the creators I've been talking to, not big companies yet, but smaller to mid-size, are looking at other channels to get traffic from. They don't trust Google anymore. So in the end, there's always going to be SEOs, because even if we don't do search engine optimization, what we do to sites makes sites better for users. So if you want a site to be really good for a user, just change it to site optimization expert or something, and we're fine. Because we know how to do content, we know how to make people click, we know how to make people go through your site, we know how to make people logical for people. We know how to sell things. We know how to get the CRO. We know all those things, right? We're probably one of the most diverse group of people that nobody knows about to like make sure your website is really good for your users. So there is a pivot point that'd be pretty simple, but it is. It just depends on what they do. Also, there's Perplexity AI out there, which is doing the same thing, but even worse because they summarize full pages. So if Perplexity gained market share, let's just say right now they don't have market share. If they did, that could be dangerous too. But in the end, the site owners want to make money, and the site owners don't trust Google, so the site owners are now diversifying. They've got other places to go besides just Google now for traffic.
I'm on, but the obvious question is, can those other places drive as much or more, or even a fraction of the traffic that Google was driving, or capable
Maybe
of driving?
not. Yeah, maybe not. But Bing is in a co-pilot with Microsoft. That's how Microsoft gained dominance to begin with Microsoft Explorer, right? They put in all their products. And Google and instead of shoving it down everyone's faces in a search result that's already too cluttered, Microsoft was smart. Microsoft took Copilot mostly out of the main results. And they put it into their products. And so now if you use Copilot with a Microsoft product, well, you get that search, that Bing search, that Copilot search. With the, the formerly it was ChatGPT, now they have their own internal version of that. So you get that now. So is that going to take market dominance in a year? So many people using Copilot inside of
If
Microsoft tools.
people can figure out that Microsoft has taken search away from the screen, then yeah, then it very well could.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't got to go to a destination to do a search with Microsoft anymore. You can do it in your Word document.
Exactly. And that's not necessarily bad for SEOs because the good thing about Microsoft for SEOs is they're very SEO positive. They're like, hey, we want you guys, we like you guys, we need you guys. Will that change? Who knows? But right now they are. So they're not creating these as site killers because you can still go to Bing search and you can still, this would just be another refer like, discover is in Google. So I think that it's going to change a lot in the next year. It's like
Yeah, actually,
tiny little thing.
if I could jump in really quickly,
Yeah, please.
it'll be more than another refer, because Bing Webmaster Tools actually tells you you're getting AI traffic. Google, on the other hand, is like, well, we think it came from over there. We'll call it direct, or maybe we'll call it a referral.
Oh,
Yeah,
they
it's
don't
a
even care
referral.
to this day. They don't even give you NGA information if it came from Discover, which is
So,
really important information because you can have like in a news site, you get like 40,000 visits one day in Discover, and then it goes away. Like that'd be good to
so what the
know
hell
in
just happened, you
analytics.
know?
Yeah, that'd be good to know in analytics, but they don't tell you.
So, I'm sorry, I jumped on your concern. What's your concern about this stuff?
Which part?
I don't know you. I jumped in, and just as you were saying, I'm concerned, and then I'm like, yeah, but Microsoft will tell you though.
It's more that I don't think we know what to be concerned about just yet. AI overviews were a potential site killer. If they had rolled out well, accurately, and at 6,000 pixels tall on average, that would have killed sites because no one would have gone. I mean, some people would have gone, but very few people would have gone past that result because they would have had everything they needed in that big summary. But the other thing too that's weird about AI overviews is, and also sure it's a legal thing, it'll go, it's this, but it could also be this, and it might be this, and they all contradict each other. So you don't actually get an answer. You get like this weird, I was looking at something the other day. I think it was just like on fish oil supplements or something. And it's like, it can be good for you, but it can be bad for you, or it can be good and bad for you. I'm like, well, how is this helpful to anybody? So we're just gonna have to see how it plays out. I think it's gonna be a while, but it is good to see that they pulled back on AIs because a lot of that information was really dangerous. And I know they pushed it off like it was all faked, like everyone just made screenshots, but they didn't. There was quite a bit of that information. It was very real. And the toaster in the bathtub came from some Reddit post as a joke. And since a large language models can't tell semantic, whether it's a joke or not, whether it's sarcastic or not, they produced it as a real answer.
Well, for what it's worth, search engines can't tell if it's a joke or not, but citations can. Bunch of people aren't linking to that Reddit post on how to properly bathe with a toaster, because it's safe to bathe with a toaster. But in fact, I bet you very few people are linking to that post. The AI model, on the other hand, is just, again, adding words, right? It's adding and doing its multiplications and figuring out statistically this is how it's supposed to sound, even if it sounds absurd.
Exactly, because it doesn't know it sounds absurd. It's like
But at the end of
that
the
drunk guy at
day,
the corner bar that's just talking, and you're like, he's making no sense. And he's like, I am too. So.
The one the method that's able to provide some form of citation, and again, I'm gonna go in the form of links, and Bing and other search engines use links to discover new information, just like Google does. Any crawler-based search engine uses links to discover new information. And in that, links are verifiable things. They help verify the veracity of stuff. And I just don't think Google's ever going to get away from that, no matter what they say. And interesting, neither does Jim Boykin. Did you
Yes,
see Boykin on backlinks? That should have been the title of the article that got published earlier today. Boykin on backlinks, because everybody would have read that.
sounds like a movie. Waking on Begley's.
So Jim Boykin, the legendary longtime SEO veteran Jim Boykin published a study suggesting that, contrary to what Google may have been telling you, links are actually still kind of important.
They are? I'm
You
totally
think?
surprised. I'm totally surprised. I had no
Did you
idea.
get a chance to read the study? I mean, it was
No,
just
I
published like
skimmed it
6 hours
while.
ago.
Yeah, I skimmed it while I haven't done a deep dive, but it is interesting. I do know that at the Google Marketing Live event that they told top level execs at companies they didn't need to invest in links anymore because they're not doing anything with them. And I laughed and I laughed. I laughed. Not I didn't laugh at the person who told me. I have a site that's been sitting there for 6 months where we haven't done any promotion, but it's well optimized, got good content, it's unique, all that stuff. And it's not doing anything because it doesn't have links. We're just working on links right now.
Okay,
So.
so the ninjas, Boykin and crew, took 1,113 domains. And then they studied the effects of links on those domains, how many links they had, the types of link they had, the authoritativeness of the links they had, anchor text used in the links they had, etc. In his piece at internetmarketingninjas.com/backlinks-google-study, you can read. He gives a good paragraph on the methodology and on the on his data sources, including his mixed feelings about some of the data sources. So he's pretty upfront. Okay, so here's to summarize the results really quickly. You want a page in the top 10 and it doesn't have links, it's not going to happen. In fact, 0% of the pages he looked at that had no referring domains, nobody linking to them, there was no placements. They weren't in the top 10. They might have been in the top 50 or the top 1,000, but they were not in the top 10. And as you go up, looking at 5 to 100 referring domains, 100 to 1,000 referring domains, 1,000 to 10,000, 10,000 to 100,000, etc., the number of sites that appear in the top 10 placements get higher and higher and higher statistically, to the point where 10,000 to 100,000 incoming referrals, incoming links, that's where they found the highest number of sites, 36.9%, 37% of the websites in their study had 10,000 or more links coming into them. So, like,
Had links, what? They had links? I'm surprised.
so he
Totally.
go again, he goes into a study on the strength and weakness of links, why they're strong, why they might be weak. And this is it's not a long piece, but it's definitely SEO required reading.
Yeah, there's a lot of good details in there that Jim added. So,
But more importantly,
I mean,
Google's
Jim, go ahead,
trying
Jim.
to downplay the value of a critically important tool in your tool set. Why would they do that? That makes no sense to me.
Because it's a thing that they can't fix. They want to get rid of the ability for people to manipulate links to rank better in Google, but they can't get rid of it. And like, I think it was like 8 years ago when Matt Cutts, they said they tried. He goes, it'll be a decade easily before we can ever replace links. Because it's how they just not only discover content, but like he said, the Google search, regular search, wouldn't have returned take a bath with a toaster to be calm. And you're right, a lot of that would be based on who is linking to that site, what anchor texts are using to that page. You know, that's how they get a lot of information, and they have not found a good way to replace it. And they thought matching the queries text to just document text would be the thing that would supplant it, according to some of the research papers. But it just isn't. It just links are too powerful. So they want to tell people, don't use links. We don't use them. They're not in the top three anymore. As CMOs at our event, we don't even use links. Don't invest in them. But it's just because they can't control it.
Like,
That's my
you know
opinion.
what? Links are not in my top three, but they're in my top five.
Oh yeah.
No. And just a couple years ago, links would have been close to number one. 2011, around that time, 2012, links were pretty damn important then.
Well, and I don't think they've really decreased that much in level of importance. I think what it is that Google has other things that might have more power, so it's decreased that way. But I don't think they went in on like the algorithms have been
Oh,
progressing.
yeah. No, indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
I'm just
Yeah.
thinking of the tools in my toolbox and where I go first. Links are always there. Links are really important. You need to be building links and creating content that people want to link to.
Yeah.
And moreover, you need to ride herd on the anchor text that people use to link to you. You really need to pay attention to that. You need to prompt good, strong anchor text, or just make it bloody obvious in the thing that they're linking to what they should be using as anchor text.
Yeah. And also depends on where your site is in the life cycle of a site, right? If you're a brand new site, oh my gosh, you have to have links. If you're a big Fortune 500, you don't really have to do a whole lot of link building because you do plenty that attracts links to your website. So it's most sites are somewhere in between there, you know. But you definitely need links, and you definitely need quality links. And there's good ways to do this without. You never pay for links. So neither Jim or I believe in paying for links. It's a recipe for wasting a lot of money. But you can do good plans to acquire, you know, links, white pages, white papers. You know, send them to where they can get published, things like that. You know, in the local. If you're local, like in the local press, you know, to hold an event or, you know, sponsor something or whatever and get press that way. But however you do it, links are a source of trust from Google and a source of information for Google. And I just don't think they can get rid of them. I think they want to. So they tell people not to buy them because they don't want people to manipulate them. And you don't need them because they don't want people to manipulate them, but they still need them.
Every time Google tries to get away from the importance of relevant links in their algorithm, the quality of their information dives. Every time.
Yeah. So bad.
Okay. So that's a SEO case study from, again, Jim Boykin. Anyone who's familiar with Jim, the ninjas, Jim is of good character. So he knows of what he writes.
He's been doing links before Google was a thing. And yeah. It's Internet Marketing Ninjas is the website. If somebody wants to look it up, and Backlinks Google Study is the title.
So that was a Jim Boykin study, again, Boykin on backlinks. But how about Google on structured data? I was really happy to see this Google case study. And actually, you published it just before we went to air. Search Engine Journal covered it on earlier today. A Google case study showing the importance of structured data. In this case, in the context of an Indonesian publisher that does a video, that publishes a number of videos, but it's not just about video structured data, although again this study was done particularly uniquely on a site that is using video structured data. That they were using structured data in a way that Google was able to read helped increase their clicks by I think upwards of what 50-60%.
Yeah,
and course we should, of a year.
Yeah, it's a good case study that we should add that for you to show in the special video slots, which is like a rich snippet. You do have to have structured data for video. You can't just show there without it. But yeah, it surfaced the videos, and I don't know. They don't show in the case study at Google if they also did the at 30 seconds, at 90 seconds breakdown. But it definitely, you know, structured data, the best thing about structured data is you're telling Google exactly what something is. Mm-hmm. So it never has to interpret it again. It's like, I know this is a video, and I will store it knowing it's a video. And when we want to surface videos, this might be a video we surface. And if you're not using structured data, Google has to do a lot of guesswork. And they're not good at guesswork.
Moreover, Google is using structured data to feed different parts of its engines.
Yes, true. Yeah.
Think of all the information you pass in Merchant Center, for instance, into the shopping search engines. It's phenomenal. I have one of my clients, I see their impression rate in Google Search Console just skyrocketing. Now, that doesn't mean that impressions do not necessarily mean clicks, but it does mean a lot of more visibility. And I swear to you, that's got to be impression. That's got to be structured data. Every time something relating to them shows up, boom, it's an impression.
There's a lot of structured placements in Google, special placements that require structured data. So whether it's review stars under something or video placement or certain other features that I'm slipping my mind right now. basically, there's a bunch of features. Google has a page on it. You can go to developer docs and look up structured data or featured snippets, all that kind of stuff. And it will show you how they place and when it's required to have the structured data to place in those placements. So, and those placements are always special placements that appear in a place in the results that would be not necessary, that displaces the 10 blue links. So it's always above somewhere, except for video. But video also has its own slots in the regular search results.
Well, Kind of, sort of. Sometimes, structured data information is found within the tendril links as well.
It is. It is. Yeah, I'm saying that it can give you placement though outside that. I
Oh,
thought what you
absolutely.
said.
Yeah, we did, for
Okay.
sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, now, caveat, this one's really important. If you're using a content delivery network, and pretty much everyone with a major site is using a content delivery network, in the case, and I didn't know this until today, this is actually neat information. Did you know this? That
I did
content delivery
not.
networks use domains or URLs that expire quickly.
I have to say, this is new to me too. I learn something every week doing this show. And
So when you're working with your CDN, you actually, for an important file, you got to demand a static URL for it. This is always going to be at this place.
yep.
I
Well,
had,
you have quickly.
honestly, I had no idea about this.
I did not know that the CDNs use quickly expiring URLs for video and thumbnail files. So yeah, you definitely want to make sure that your CDN is doing static links that will last a while. It makes a lot of sense. Google comes back later, it's like, yeah, you're not there.
Well, and also, considering how rapidly and how just the volume of CDNs are generating these URLs, I guess I can understand why they're expiring, but why they're rapidly expiring. But I don't know. I mean, good old Obsidian. Shoot.
It
Well,
does
they
make
probably have
sense because they
something to.
own so many links, and so they probably just don't keep a permanent placement for them.
It's probably got something to do with load balancing, on multiple servers, but. I honestly have no idea why they do it, but you gotta insist they don't. Okay, so the reason I wanted to get those two stories in light, just after the stories about like Google pulling back on their AI forever commitment. The last two stories we did, Boykin on backlinks and the structured data case study. In light of the leak of the, what was it? It ended up being 2,450 some odd individual items in the API leak from a week and a half ago. And that really feels like it's fading into ether pretty quickly. But we
By
have,
leak,
well, the leak, yeah, the stuff that came out of the
yeah.
leak, there's not a lot of development or research or anything that's gone past, oh my God, that was there. But I think people are getting the sense that we don't know how, as we don't know how those individual facets or things are being used, you can't say, I'm going to do this. You can't rush headlong into water when you don't actually know how deep the water is.
Or that it's water. I
Or that is water, and
mean,
yeah, indeed, eh?
yeah. So we still, I still, and this is just my personal opinion, but we'll still probably die on the hill that this was apparently now released as in part of a bug bounty report a month before it was given to like Mike King and Rand Fishkin. So I just don't see Google going, oh, that's the secret to our entire algorithm. Let's just leave it on this server until whenever. Like as soon as it would have been reported, it would have been taken down. It just would not have been left up. So there's stuff in there, but there's also a lot of references to G plus. There's references to really old stuff. There's some new references, but not many. Most of this stuff is really antiquated, and there's probably just old API calls, and they're not that worried about it.
The point I'm trying to make, though, is the last two stories we covered are actual studies. Like, the last two
Yes.
stories are actual studies. Boykin and team put in the time to, like, I have no idea how long it took them to do this. Quite a while, months and months and months to do and to get the results of that study, and then to, replicate and test it and make sure that what they're saying is right. Google, 90% sure they follow the scientific method before telling stuff to the world. I'm only 90% sure. I'm not going to say I'm 100% sure because I just don't trust those devils, but I just don't trust them folks. But still, I think we just gave two pieces of action items, like things you should do when you're working on websites. No need for speculation. I just really hope that as the SEO industry evolves forward, that SEOs continue to follow provably actionable advice.
Yes, definitely. Because it's very there's even if you even if this was on 100% the release of all the algorithms that Google has, it is very I've looked through a lot of the files and I have them. It's very little that's actionable. Most of the files just refer to like math that doesn't have any definitions. And just because you see something that says like, I think it's a site authority, like Ryan Jones posted a really good thing this week. I can't remember. I think it was on LinkedIn, where he's like, that's also part of machine learning. And this could just be how they test things, or this could be how they try to simulate something. Like there's so many possibilities of what it could be. So yeah, definitely use things that people have proven and tested.
Okay. So, jumping a complete lateral leap here, I'd like this story because it's scary as heck. OpenAI insiders are demanding the right to warn.
Yes.
So, I guess when you go to work for somebody who's got a few billion dollars under their belt, you got to sign a couple non-disclosures. That tends to be the way.
It's
But
even worse than that. Go
what
ahead.
if? What if you see something that scares the just scares you so badly that you need to tell the public? Well, that takes you from being a employee to, well, being a whistleblower, really. Incidentally, there is legal protection for whistleblowers in American legislation, but it really sucks to be a whistleblower because your life gets destroyed.
Well, and
So,
also he's apparently very, sorry, I just want to interject this real quick. He's very brutal about terminating people's like all their monetary sources. So if they had like supposed to get shares or bonuses or anything that was on the table to be given to them or for them to make money from, he will literally eliminate it. Like he'll
Oh,
take it away.
I'm pretty sure they'll take your house.
You probably.
They'll take your car. They'll take your child's favorite doll if there's monetary value and you've in any way hurt their business.
Yeah. Apparently, that we've reported on this before. Sam Altman is public persona is not quite the same as working for him.
Even that doesn't, for some reason, that doesn't even matter to me. I don't care about Sam Altman. I care about his lawyers, and they don't care about you in any way
Very
whatsoever. It's
true.
just business to them. But okay, so here's the deal. OpenAI insiders, people who work in the sausage factory, want the right to warn the public that what they're making mightn't be safe for human consumption or consumption at all. 13 signatories of current and former employees of OpenAI and Google DeepMind believe that AI has a potential to do good, but without proper safeguards, there could be a whole bunch of harm it does as well. A signatory, Daniel Cocottiolo, hello, I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it, who quit OpenAI in April. Has said that he's scared and he'd be crazy not to be.
Yeah, and it's not even necessarily like the stuff like in humanity stuff. There's also a lot of stuff that they're talking about on a general level, which is like just he's like racial bias. And both Google and Microsoft have bypassed their safety teams to launch things or do things. Like we know ChatGPT was launched outside the safety board completely. They didn't find out until it was on Twitter that day that they launched this thing. And Microsoft recently did something, and I'd have to go back and look up exactly what it was, but they also went outside their safety board. So this the part of the reason these people are concerned is there's a recklessness because now there's a lot of money involved, and that they are going outside their safety boards or their safety purviews to do things. And so even things like racial bias can be massively destructive, as we know. Originally, when Facebook was doing working with police departments because they had the best facial recognition in the world, and this actually led to them dismantling the whole program, is they would be erroneous about people who had darker skin tones. And they even like identified a senator who was not anywhere near whatever this crime was, I forget what it was, as being a potential criminal in this case. So there's basic issues that are concerning, and then on top of that, the big issues that are concerning, like could we destroy the world?
Imagine what racial bias in AI would do in, say, the insurance industry.
Yeah, or hiring, gender and racial bias are both prevalent in a lot of the programming, and they have to be very conscious to remove that. And it's very difficult to remove that because much of what they train on has racial and gender bias, age bias, things like that. So yeah, so it's very important because personally, I don't believe you should ever leave AI just to run on its own, but companies like the idea of not having to hire people to do stuff, so they'll just let the AI run. And so I think they should, personally, I think they should have a right to warn where they can't be, you know, retaliated against, and they can't have like their bonuses and everything removed.
Okay, so that's the latest from employees at OpenAI.
Yeah,
AI.
And DeepMind too.
So where do we go? There's three FUD stories around X today. Why don't we start with the one they're going to need the most? Their one and only PR employee, Joe Menarok, who had at one time led X's corporate communications, has resigned.
Yeah, they say, go ahead. Let's get started.
Well, I'm just going to say, so X no longer has a PR or public communications person.
And I didn't even know they still had one, because like last year, I think it was, or maybe the year before, Musk said, if you want corp comms and you communicate with them, you get a poop emoji, which that's what he sends back to people who try to contact them. So I didn't even know there was somebody left, but apparently if you're the one guy trying to do corporate comms for PR for this company, probably a good time to go.
Well, it would be really hard to do PR for a company that runs paid search ads for outright racist and far right political keywords. For instance, and I'm surprised you can actually buy placement for the keyword white power, or the hashtag white power. I'm surprised you can buy placement on any platform for that, but apparently you can, and X is bidding against it.
And so people understand, these are paid placements. So this isn't an ad where it accidentally shows up again, something else. This is where you can actually buy placement against the terms.
And my mistake, this is X allowing the placements, not buying elsewhere. This is allowing placement on their platform.
Yeah, but you said something important. I'm not sure everyone would know if they don't do ads, and that is this. There were accidental ones, like Hyundai pulled because they accidentally showed up next to a Nazi post more than once. But in this case, you're actually buying ads around these kind of racist and hateful terms.
So
putting the hashtag white power.
18 months ago, Elon Musk said he was going to single-handedly eliminate racism and hate posts at X, back when it was still Twitter. He failed, clearly. I'm not sure he even tried, but he did say he would. So there's that. I guess maybe if he had a PR employee or something, there'd be a statement. Or not.
Oh, the poop emoji isn't taking care of it?
No, I think Cat Turd's doing it.
I can't say, as someone in community notes, that we leave the notes on the, you know, people's posts when they have issues. Like I think I've said before, we don't even have anybody in the Discord anymore from Twitter. Like there's nobody there, so yeah. I don't know what he's doing, but it's definitely not investing in truthful and non-racial content.
Well, he is investing or allowing sexual content. So there's that. X is now gone XXX. It is now allowing not safe for work content. I'm assuming it's going to soon allow paid not safe for work content. That's my guess.
I mean, it's not been specifically banned on there for, I think it used to be a long time ago, but not since he's taken over. But it's not that I mean, if people want to do that for a living, that's legal, valid living. But I don't want to start going to Twitter, like I sometimes get, is like, naked person or sex video in my stream. Like, it's like, I was in the mood for today.
Wouldn't he at least create like an x.x.com?
Huh, you would think, right? That would make sense.
You would think he would at least segregate it into its own certain section. I can't imagine having porn videos just running through the X feeds alongside advertisements for who knows still advertising at X, but there's still advertisers there.
Well, and they also can have people subscribe, so they can have people pay them for their channels. So I don't know if it'll just show up. It already does just show up. But I don't know if it intentionally will just show up. But yeah, you can go to their pages. You know, it's like trying to compete with OnlyFans, I guess. You know, he's down 75% in value for the site. He's probably trying. I'd try anything at this point. So,
well, while creating content to go up on the new X-rated section of Twitter, please remember that Microsoft will soon be taking your photograph, or photograph of what's on your screen, every 5 seconds. Yes. Microsoft's Windows Recall AI is still on the drawing board. It's still coming to a operating system near, well, 90% of you. I'm blown away that they're still doing this. Just to remind people, Windows Recall AI is a feature that will allow you to, you know, pretty much foolproof. You will never lose a document again. You will always be able to find stuff, even stuff you wrote like 10, 15 years ago. And if there's a sudden blackout and you lose all your stuff, the cat steps on your keyboard and erases all your work. That's okay, because the photograph was taken of it 5 minutes ago. But that photograph was probably also taken of all your banking information, your health information, your insurance information, and whatever else you do in the privacy of a secured connection between you, your financial institutions, your schools, or maybe a dating site that you're interested in, or your insurance company, what have you. All these things will have photographs every 5 seconds. There's a record of what you were doing.
Lovely.
Taken by Microsoft every five seconds.
Nothing creepy about it. Did you know Google had something like that, like 15 years ago or something? Had planned something and never launched.
Oh, thank God. Oh, now yeah. I'm embarrassed. Oh, boy.
but oh, my gosh. Like, seriously. Like, okay. My first thought goes to, like, why would I want all that information sitting on my computer? Because, you know, there are all sorts of situations you could get into where someone might want access to it, including when people get divorced, you know,
yeah.
Like, hey, I want to, but also they found out last week that it is not secure on your computer. It is stored in what they call plain text, which means completely unsecured. And there are ways, not just by hacking your computer, that they could get to that information. Now, can you imagine?
Yeah,
I just can't.
Actually, I can, and it terrifies me, and I'm blown away that Microsoft is continuing on with this. I mean, there has to be guardrails, like, I don't know, the EU, who will tell Microsoft they can't do this. But yeah, it's moving forward.
And the belief is, so I read an article about this, and I haven't verified it since, but that when they do the storing. Because they talk about it being on the edge. On the edge means space between, like, the server and the site itself. That they'll use it for AI training.
So, oh, well, that makes me more comfortable.
Yeah, right? So you can turn this off. I think it launches enabled, maybe not. I don't know if it's opt-in or opt-out. I think it's changed a couple times. But what you will want to do, most people, I would think all people, is just disable it. Like, you do not want everything you do on your computer every 5 seconds stored on an open file on your computer that can also be accessed other ways besides just hacking your computer. So, it's just dangerous.
So when I die, erase my memory and all those files.
Yes, right? Like, I just don't know. Sometimes when we do a story, I just want to have been in the boardroom when it was being discussed. We're going to take a snapshot every 5 seconds on people's computers and store it.
Oh, I can see how that goes. No, that's an answer. That's an answer to a problem. We need the biggest source of training data ever.
Exactly.
Why don't we just take pictures of people's window every 5 seconds?
Yeah, we'll sell it as something you can search. It's beneficial for you. And then we'll not store it in anything encrypted. We'll just leave it there for anybody to find. Oh my gosh.
Well, you know how to make your data safe in the coming world? Make sure it's not mobile friendly. And then Google won't rank it. And then Google won't even index it. Although, as it turns out, they will. They were just messing with us again. Okay, so Google announced. So Google announced like 8 years ago that we were moving to a mobile-first index or mobile-first reality. And if you weren't a mobile-friendly website, then damn you, you were going to be damned. We called it Mobilegeddon. And on the day of Mobilegeddon, if I remember, it was in March. Nothing happened. March like 2016. Nothing happened. And so flash forward to, I don't know, last week, Google announces that if your website is not mobile friendly, you will not be
Well,
indexed.
not mobile friendly, mobile crawlable.
Okay,
So
well.
they first sounded like they meant like it has to be responsive or something. It doesn't, it can be desktop only, but it has to be crawlable
They
with a
clarified
mobile
that this
app.
morning.
Yeah.
Because people, I think, kind of freaked out.
Yeah.
Oh, 8 years later, you're telling us by next week we got to have it together or we're dead?
By
Oh,
the
by
way,
the
people,
way, last time you did that, nothing happened.
if your site's not accessible and mobile, come to the 2020s, please. Like,
Well,
it just, I know there's sites that are still in desktop that are for like a lot of times are government sites or something, but at least it should be crawlable with a mobile
I'm not sure
device.
if it was Matt Southern or Roger Monty who wrote the best line on this. If you're not visible on a mobile device, your page simply isn't crawlable. Like any desktop page is visible on a mobile device, it just looks like crap and operates like crap, but it's still visible because it's crawlable. But if it isn't visible, it's probably not crawlable, and you got an even bigger problem.
It's like kind of a crazy thing. But if you're still like have a desktop only site, please do yourself a favor and get a mobile version of it, responsive version of it so that people can access you on their phones. Well, not like tiny, tiny text, no one can read.
Well, that too, indeed. There's a whole slew of things. I was thinking of the scrolling, the horizontal scrolling that you have to do, or the any number of weirdnesses. Speaking of weirdnesses, just a total quickie. All those missing links, they Cro-Magged back into existence again.
Yes, you're talking about Search Console, correct?
Yeah, all the missing links in Search Console Cro-Magged themselves back to existence. I thought that was funny. Shoot.
I'm
So it was,
flooded.
yeah, Google mea culpa. They messed up. Those links were never gone. They just weren't being counted. So apparently they're back and being recounted in Search Console again. What? I don't know where to go next. I know. Okay, so I like this one a
Oh,
lot. This makes me very
which
happy.
one? Okay, what makes you happy?
The social media posting markup. So there's a bunch of different websites are changing. Websites are really different than they were in the Web 0.1, even the Web 0.2 world. There's a huge amount more interactivity on individual websites now. Content is being generated on the fly on individual websites, not just on Facebook, not just on X or Twixter, not just on Instagram. Like on your website, you can act on your app. You can have creative content being written and posted in a conversation style that actually answers somebody's questions and is searchable and helpful and all that good stuff. There is now a schema markup tag for it, search media posted. So I'm sorry, social media posting. For sites that are more than a generic social media platform versus a discussion forum. I think that's really cool.
No, it is really cool. And it is a way to get your information out there. I was just talking to a client about something like this yesterday. So, yeah.
Well, moreover, I know I don't know which client you were talking to, but I do know some a couple of your clients, and I could think of some great applications for one of them. You have a couple of publishing clients.
I
I could think of
do.
in the publishing world, this was an amazing application. You want to talk about the latest happening, be it a sporting event, a rock concert, a cultural event, what have you. This is an amazing milieu, and this gets that conversation indexable.
Yes. And we know Google is surfacing that type of content, so it definitely could be helpful. But not necessarily helpful content.
That was covered 2 days ago at Search Engine Roundtable. And again, check into it. Social media posting markup. I honestly think this can actually prompt creative site creation.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. It was somewhere you wanted to go.
You know, I we've got a few small ones, but I do think there's one thing that we just cover in general. We kind of brushed by it earlier, and that is that people aren't loving having. A lot of loving Google search right now. The survey for 54% of people look through more search results versus 5 years ago, and it's very frustrating to them. But the interesting thing is, you and I know from the DOJ documents that Google intentionally made search worse to make people query more to make more revenue. But apparently, people are kind of getting weary of having to do, like, they're trying to find the right search term to get the right results and looking through multiple websites to try to find what they're looking for, which basically indicates a decline in Google search, as we've talked about for the last year, that the search quality has gone down in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. Some people say more than that. I say probably about a year, about this time last year.
The three most frustrating things that people reported in this study was looking through search results, 26% frustrated people. Coming up with the right search term, frustrated 22%, and visiting multiple websites, frustrated 21%. So you know what Google's very logical answer to this was?
What AI was it?
Overview.
Yeah.
if they don't want to have to go through the 10 blue links, we'll give them the answer for them.
Sure. Yeah, we created the problem and now we're gonna.
You know what a better solution would have been 5 years ago?
Fix search results.
Really good search results, exactly. The high quality search results that actually gave people the answer within the first couple of links. You want to give an easy answer away, make it a featured snippet. That works too. We were with the zero click universe from that because it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. Actually, I could get a lot of clicks from that because there wasn't enough information in the snippet to prevent the click.
Actually, you know what I did have? I had one client that for a particular proposition that the state of California put out around molded plastics. They wrote the featured, what became the featured snippet for it. And oh my God, did we get traffic off that?
So same when I worked for this major e-commerce site, and they're one of their highest highest trafficked pages was how to convert shoe size from UK to US.
Sure.
And here's something interesting though, and I know this is a little bit talked about on Twitter this week. I'm not sure if you saw it, so not trying to catch you off guard at all. But apparently, like, we had to change the featured snippet slightly because of just legal reasons. And the page that the featured snippet came from, and we lost one of the featured snippets. We had two of them, and we lost it for that page. And I hear some people have been jiggering around with trying to get AI overview answers, and did. Getting put in that box, but then lost their featured snippet, and then also lost the AI overview because they were removed on the next like couple days later. So be very careful if you have a featured snippet, like very careful about changing anything because it's very easy to lose your featured snippet. And the AI link items don't seem to be there for a long time. It seems like they change them frequently.
I mean, isn't that just like an old SEO adage that's worth reminding of every once in a while? When you're winning, don't do anything.
Yes, don't do it. Don't touch it. Don't do it.
I got this one website that I have like so many things I want to do on content, but I swear to goodness, this website is overperforming right now, so I don't want to touch anything. But
yeah.
When I don't touch anything, I get really nervous because you can't just leave it, right? Because you've got to be doing something, got to be giving something fresh to look at. So, yeah. Anyway, if you're doing amazingly well and having the featured snippet is doing amazingly well, don't mess with it.
Definitely don't mess with it. And along the lines with the decline in search results, Google wanted to tell us that we are not upset with those who share constructive feedback on our search results. So if you've been one of those people that have been tweeting Google, you're not being banned to the hinterlands because you are, unless you're, you know, just nasty about it.
Well, no, you're not being banned then either. Like Google doesn't take Danny Sullivan doesn't take it personally and run down to the Google Ranking Center and say,
No, no,
Gmojo.
no, no, no.
That
No, no,
doesn't
I didn't mean
happen.
they won't answer you anymore if you're rude to them on a regular basis.
Well, that's just being human, ain't
As a
it?
human. Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant.
But the important thing is, like, nobody is demoting you for pointing out flaws with Google.
No, they are definitely not doing that. So, but they wanted you to know that Danny Sullivan was replying to somebody and he said, I know that said they would be banned. He said, I mean, I know you're joking, but seriously, no. That is in the sense that you or anyone who shares constructive feedback about our results should feel like we'd be upset with them. You've been a leader in raising concerns. Others have too, and that is appreciated. Seriously. Complaints and feedbacks are opportunities. Those who get them should recognize them as such and look how to improve from them. And then blah, blah, blah. There's some more after that.
You know what,
So that's what they're saying.
this is an old story that happened to everybody who's ever owned a restaurant, but I owned a restaurant once. And honest to goodness, the people who complained about food or service were the best customers because they told me what
Isn't
was wrong.
it? You know
Now,
what else? If someone cares to complain often, unless they're just like a troll, they care about the product and they see something that's making it, is harming it, and they want to tell you about it because they want you to keep doing well because they like what you do. Yeah.
So, and incidentally, Google did say, please tell us. You see something wrong, let us know. Like they did ask for it.
They did. Yeah. They definitely. Yeah, sorry. No, they did ask you to do that, especially after the last update. So, speaking of something, Google doesn't like something you do. They have added to the reputation abuse, site reputation abuse, and
Oh,
now it's
yeah.
white label coupon site can
So
be hit
if you're
now.
pushing somebody else's coupons, you can get you could be subject to the reputation penalty.
Yeah, it's still it's kind of a little murky because like there are coupon sites. I'm working with one right now. Like I've been around for 20 years, and even Google said like that most publication hosts coupons for their readers. Readers should clearly understand how the publication sources its coupons and how it works to ensure that the coupons provide value to the readers. So basically, they don't want somebody when they say white label, they just mean you're doing what the big sites were doing that they supposedly were gonna like really demote, but then that if you just have a section of your site that you're just third party feeding coupons through, then that's subject to this algorithm, which can be a manual action or an algorithm, but I don't think the algorithm is actually run, right? It's just been manual actions.
Well, beware. Google was handing out manual actions like they were handing out hall passes a while ago.
Yeah, but fortunately for those sites, they're really big sites, so the manual actions were resolved really quickly.
The
Which makes
honest
sense.
truth, the honest truth is, in a post-helpful content universe, I don't see 101 best coupons as being a viable website anymore. And maybe
No,
it
I
is.
do.
Maybe I'm wrong, but
Well,
I just
I
don't
will
see it.
know because I have a client who's just a coupon site, coupons and deals, but they source everything. So they've been doing it for 20 years, and this is the first time they've been hit by anything. But most of their stuff seems to be technical.
Is there, oh,
And
okay.
then,
Is I was,
yeah.
my question is their website, is their business viable still? Like in the
We'll find
post-HCO?
out. We'll find out.
Yeah, I guess so, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm working with them. I'm working with them. They're great people. They really are trying to provide a value to people. They're legitimate coupons and deals, you know, like you used to go to the, you know, newspaper and get your coupons and deals, right? Clip them all out. You know, I said that story on the local news. Woman, you know, gets $10 back from her $500 grocery buy, right? So it's an essential product. It's just Google wants you to only present it if you're the person that's actually providing it and, you know, administrating it, and you know what's going up there and how you source your coupons, things like that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I guess we got time for okay. We got time for a couple more. Here's one that I'm not sure how people are going to feel about. I'm not sure how I feel about, given the way Google has been recommending certain large companies over smaller ones, but there's a new refinement feature in that seems to be appearing in commercial search engine results. You know how Google had the little drop downs that would say people also searched for, people were also looking for, and give you like other search suggestions? Well, now Google is taking your key phrases, your query phrases, and mixing them around a bit. over at SE Roundtable, Barry pulled up the example of welding machine was the search query. So Google showed popular products for welding machine, incidentally, all of which came from Amazon.com. But then underneath the tiles for the Amazon products were three different drop-down menu choices, one reading portable welding and soldering tools, the next reading stick welding and soldering tools, and the third reading MIG welding and soldering tools. So different types of search that if you were interested in a welding machine, you might also be interested in. I don't know if the links under these drop-downs also all led to Amazon, but I do know that there's at least 15 result places or 15 blue links that are showing up here in this little feature rather than in the regular search results.
Yeah. Let's just cram everything we possibly can into a page.
Well, and again, the, we'll problem with the my problem with these things is they tend to be weighted towards the biggest advertisers, towards the largest of the companies with the most links coming into them and the probably the biggest product landscape.
Very, very true. And I'll tell you, this isn't about the whole products, new products page with the filtered like navigation, faster navigation, all that. I was doing a lot of shopping this week because I got paid by some clients, and it was so overwhelming. I just left the page. I was like, oh my gosh, just give me some blue links so I can do some research. It's like, it's so much stuff being crammed into these product pages. So I don't know. I guess we'll see. But you're right. They probably tend to, I haven't seen one in the wild yet, but they probably tend to favor the big guys.
So yeah. How do you combat Google favoring the big guys? If you're a medium to, or if you're a small to medium guy, take care of the schema. That's the only suggestion I have right now in this specific context. Make sure that everything that can possibly be marked up is marked up. Anything that can be described is described. Any data that you can feed that's relevant to your business or the product you're trying to sell is being fed. I think that's Definitely. The only way. That's the only way you fight this, right? Could you think of anything?
I can think of two ways. Google would rather you didn't do it. You know, there's Reddit placement and one of our probably last stories, Perplexity pages showing in Google AI overviews.
But. This is the snake eating its tail again. You go for it. This is I know you're gonna enjoy this one. This is yours.
I know that if this is spammable, we will find out tomorrow.
Yeah. You know what, by the way, as we're covering this, please remember, I'm really trying to get an interview with the CEO of Perplexity at the Collision Conference 2 weeks from now. So no matter what we say about your engine, dude, we think you're snazzy and everything. Give us the interview.
Yeah, Jim, I already tweeted them, so that might not work.
Ah, man. Okay, anyway, so Perplexity is an AI-powered search engine.
And no, there's no AI-powered search engines. This is a summarization engine. It just does what Google does, but that's the only kind of search.
They call themselves an AI-powered search engine. In fact, they summarize stuff that came from other people's pages. But they've created a new product called Perplexity Pages, where they will take the summary and put it on a page that has a real URL, a solid URL.
Imagine if Google said, we're going to have you create pages that will be searchable through our index. Okay, websites. But anyway... and then you can share this link with page to use other users. Okay, medium, but they're going to incorporate it in the search results, and Google will show them.
Well, again, it's important to understand. So, Perplexity pages have a URL attached to them. They have an address. If they have an address, they could be crawled. Wait, they could be crawled. They can show up in Google, and now they're showing up as featured snippets.
But the thing that's really, So people know Perplexity. AI was started by Google people, former Google people. So I'm sure there's a lot of Google processes maybe that aren't like suable, like in there. But then pages are you creating your own page on Perplexity about some topic, which basically is what you do on Medium or on your own website. But now Google is getting those and showing them in AI overviews and search results. Which is just insane because there's no validity to what any I could put on there. take a bath with a toaster. It'll calm you because you'll be dead, but that's okay because you'll be completely calm. And that could show up in Google search results for how to be calm, right? So I haven't seen anybody test this yet. It's very new, but I guarantee you, I will. How much money are you willing out, Jim? Like a dollar?
No, I'm not betting.
By next week, you
will know. I ain't taking that bet.
Using it for spam. Like, this is the most spammable thing I've ever seen outside of starting a Reddit. So you can get into the Reddit results.
The spam thing kind of sort of concerns me. That amuses me more than concerns me. The
yes.
fact that Perplexity pages, which we know are AI generated, are now becoming the featured snippets. That concerns me because, again, this is the kind of stuff that was telling people to eat rocks for their health. And that's, you know, minerals are important, but that ain't the way you get them.
Yeah, and by the way, I forgot to put in there, these can be totally AI generated pages. You just decide what you wanted to produce. I don't even understand why someone would put this in a search engine.
Well, I don't think I'm making that. This is one of the road to hells paved with good intentions, or in this case, what they thought was a good idea at the time. I don't think they actually intended it to be in the search engine. It just has a real URL. If it has a real URL and it's not blocked, it'll get crawled.
Oh,
that's how the world
I don't just
works.
Mean, right. I don't just mean that. I mean, why Perplexity would be doing this? Like, why in the world would you have people create AI-generated pages on topics? Like, you must have run out of things to train on, so now you need people to create trainable pages. I don't know. It just doesn't
Very
make sense.
Possibly. And now the snake, and again, now the snake is eating its tail. And
yes,
when that happens, we're in deep trouble.
Because we know that from all the researchers that I've followed and you've read, that that's called synthetic data, and it doesn't work well. It actually causes the model
to
collapse.
Oh, my God, it didn't work. Oh, indeed, it could work well. No, this is like pouring sugar in your gas tank.
Yes, exactly. It's like, and we know from the time Microsoft, remember, Microsoft produced a bad answer. A guy wrote a blog post about it, beat a bad answer, and then Microsoft came back through and crawled it and produced it as the right answer. Because the AI created the wrong answer, the person wrote about it being the wrong answer, but because the crawler doesn't know, the crawler just picked it up as the right answer. It's
Which,
just
incidentally, snakes us back to the beginning again. This is why Google pulled back on AI overviews. Which was actually the smartest thing they've done in 6 weeks.
Probably 5 years.
Well, I want to be conservative in my guesses here, you know.
So how I know. I'm going to test it. Are you going to test it? I'll be honest. I'm going to test it. I'm going to see how spammable it is, just so I know for my clients. So.
I'm not going to test it, but only for lack of time.
And you know I'll
goodness.
Test it, so I'll tell you, and you know 10 of our friends will test it. So.
Absolutely. That's one of the nice things about being me. Okay. We got to pack over. We gone over hour, and I have a week from hell still. I'm still paying for that damn leak last week and all the time it ate. So, on behalf of Christine Chackager from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Friends, you've been listening to Webcology on WMR.fm, recorded live to podcast on the 6th of June, 2024. Incidentally, the 80th anniversary of the D-Day invasion of France, the beginning of the liberation of Europe. Be kind to each other. Rank well. Be good. Stay tuned. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.